Tonight, the fantastic Jeanette Barber sits down with me for a conversation. You might remember her as the Emmy Award-winning head writer of The Rosie O'Donnell Show. She spent some time at The View. She's a stand-up comedian and author. It's an amazing conversation. We cover a lot of topics. You're not going to want to miss this. Stay tuned.
Are you ready for this one?
UCR. Go.
I think you know what we're talking about. We got your quarters once you laying them down. Won't keep you waiting, watch your clock turn to 9. 8, 7, 6, 5, depending on your time zone. Won't keep you waiting, cause we're ready to go. We're never stopping, cause we're taking control. No hesitating, baby, let's start the show. Everybody knows it's Uncensored Radio. We saying what we want, give it to you nonstop, any place, any time.
How are you, girl?
Hey, how are you? It is so exciting to finally be here.
you had a little incident this week. I saw on Facebook.
My
Mike Tyson bruise?
Yes, exactly. Doesn't it look like I should be getting a Golden Globe? I'm waiting. I want an award. And it is so much paler. This is so much better than it was. It was a very dark eggplant. So last week, it was a windy day in New York City. And I'm walking down the street. And this giant piece of cardboard, like literally like, I'm going to say 3x4, but something like that. And it's not like I saw it coming. It wasn't standing in front of me going, you know, pardon me. It swooped in out of nowhere. It slammed into me so hard, it literally lifted me up and pushed my feet out behind me so that I landed on my face on the sidewalk. Now, I'm pretty sure I said something like, I mean, I think I did. I think I was like squawking, and it's so shocking. And I could tell because my tooth went into my lip, and you know, you could immediately the taste of blood, always fun. Who doesn't love that? And two things. One, this is one of the things I love about New York City. So I slam on the ground and begin to scream, and I never saw more than his leg, because a guy with a leg came right next to my head, reached down and pulled me up. And since I was able to stand, he continued to walk. He had done his part. I love that.
Bye.
Yeah.
Good luck.
New Yorkers will help you. We don't necessarily have time to chat, but if you need something, New Yorkers are there. And then another man was there, and he did wait, and it was funny because he's looking at me like this. He's going, you're bleeding. I'm sorry, I don't have anything to wipe it off. So, for the first time in my entire life, I spit in the street over and over, spit blood, and the man had this little boy with him, and the little boy is just looking at me, and I said to the little boy that it was okay, and then I spit blood, so I'm sure it was fine. But I didn't break anything.
A miracle.
It's an actual miracle because I have osteoporosis. And when I stood up, that was the first thing I said to passersby. Oh my God, I have osteoporosis. I am.
Where's Sally Field when you need her?
Yeah, exactly. And but I'm fine. I didn't break anything. I've already been to the dentist. These teeth I had to purchase during the pandemic. I had laminates and I had to get crowns because, you know, who knows that, you know, those will go bad on you. But then, if you don't mind, a quick public service announcement.
Absolutely.
I had fantastic news today. So osteoporosis, and I have it kind of bad, and I don't want to take the drugs. So I read on Facebook about something called OsteoStrong. It's osteogenic loading, where your body is put in optimum position for maximum force, and you exert maximum force, which is different than lift, because it looks like a leg press, and I'm at 1,100 pounds, but it's 1,100 pounds of force, and they call it a biohack, because your brain reads it as if it's lifting, and it is supposed to cause bone growth. who knows if this will work, right? Well, after 1 year, they say they actually recommend that you wait about 16 months to see a change. But I got another bone density in a year, and I just got the results back. And in 1 year with no drugs, I went from a negative 3.7, which is a really horrible number, if you know, to a negative 3.0.
That's like
actually a really big improvement, since those drugs don't necessarily even improve it, and it will just get better. It's an international franchise. I know they're in Florida. I know they're in Connecticut. They're obviously here, but you've got listeners everywhere.
Yeah.
And if you have osteoporosis,
all over the world,
it's something that actually works.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And that's probably what helped you with the cardboard incident.
I swear, I don't know, because they tell you don't break, you're supposed to break. But I fell off a camel. And, well, it's not really my fault. It was his fault, because the camel, whose name was James, decided to have a lie down while I was on him.
Oh.
And at one point, as there, have you ever been on
as
a camel?
As you do. No,
like
no,
mountains.
Girl. No.
And at one point, as you have to jump.
Oh, no.
And I had osteoporosis then as well. And I didn't break. I did jump into the sand. I thought it was a big of a help. But anyway, thank you for, I'm going to tell everybody, strangers on the street, about that. Because
I think it's a very exciting thing. And I think anytime you can not take medication and have a success, I think it's a huge thing. And I'm all for it.
Yeah, me too. I mean, if you have to, you have to.
Yeah.
But
for sure. You know. Yeah, if you have to, fine. But if you can get around it. Well, and I think, too, that was one of the things years ago I remember hearing about you. You were in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
With your back.
It was my ankles.
Ankles.
It was my ankles. This is, speaking of Rosie O'Donnell, because I used to work for Rosie O'Donnell on her show. I was the head writer. And without her, I do believe I would not be walking today. Because I don't know how I would ever have found it out. She put me on the show.
It was on the show, right? That you went on the show.
I had this horrible ankle pain. And from the very beginning, it happened. It started right before we started the job. And it got worse and worse. And I'd have to wrap my ankles every day in ACE bandages just to be able to stand the pain from my desk down to the studio, until eventually I couldn't. And then I had a wheelchair, one of those wheelie cart things that I would ride to work through Central Park in my wheelchair. And one day she said, if you want me to, she'd actually said that before. And one day I rode into her office. I had gained 50 pounds because I couldn't move for so many years. And I said, if you want to do it, now would be a good day. And from all of the letters, I found a Dr. John Sarno, S-A-R-N-O, and he wrote a book called Healing Back Pain, which is why the back stuck in your head.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have picked up that book because I didn't have back pain.
Right.
And it's called TMS, tension myositis syndrome. It happens usually in the back, but anywhere in muscles, nerves, or tendons. And it is physical pain, but an emotional trigger. Mm-hmm. And so much back pain is really this. I was completely cured. 3 years of pain, 6 months in a wheelchair, a 3-hour lecture. And 2 weeks later, I was lumbering up a mountain path in Vermont, completely pain-free. Your brain, in an effort to suppress unwanted emotion, usually in the form of anger, which I always say is funnier if you know me, any strong emotion, your brain, in an effort to suppress it, causes pain, which becomes a distraction. The more you change your life to accommodate the pain, the greater the pain will grow.
Yeah.
You don't even have to know what you're trying to avoid. You have to know that you're trying to avoid it. His book is Healing Back Pain, The Mind-Body Connection. And another thing I can attest to, because I've had a few relapses, and every time I know what to do. So doctors will suggest surgery. They will suggest all kinds of things. And in fairness, they're doing what they know, what they're trained to do. But
yeah, for sure.
But why live in pain when you can buy a book and cure yourself?
Right. Well, I think for me, it was, I was going through all that and I had stumbled upon, I think a YouTube video, or I was going through like VHS tapes and had saw a story or, you know, something, and you had talked about that. And I think Howard Stern had kind of had the similar thing.
Yeah.
And I started putting the dots together about what was going on in my life and when my back was going out.
So you had TMS.
I guess, because once I put the dots together and changed everything, I've not had an episode in almost 10 years.
Then that's what it is.
That'd be a little throwback, but nothing.
Well, he would say it was like a covert operation. Once a covert operation is busted, it loses its value. So once you know and accept that it is your brain causing the pain goes away.
Yeah, I mean, it would get to the point where my legs would go out from underneath me and I couldn't move. I couldn't crawl, nothing.
Yeah.
And I'd be stuck on the floor. And once I realized that it was the stress levels and everything going on in my world, it was over. That was the end of it.
Wow, good for
you. So it was amazing. Yeah, but it was because of you and Howard that the connection all became, it made sense.
Yeah.
You know? And I think so many people don't realize that it's all connected.
And unfortunately, sometimes there are people like you and people like me and all of the hundreds of thousands of people who have recovered from TMS, who are open-minded and willing to go, wait a minute, I'm responsible? If I'm responsible, responsibility is the point of power. You can do anything if you will accept responsibility. But I've talked to, because I talked to a lot of people about this because it was so public. And, you know, I did Larry King. I did a lot of stuff back then. And some people will just get angry at you. They just do not touch my pain. They are attached to, I don't know, a victim. But they'll get mad.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that it's a, I think the victim was the right word. Like, there was some folks in my life, you know, they like that, oh, woe is me. You know, they want that sympathy from it. You know, they don't want it to go away. They need that thing. And I'm no thanks. Bye. Yeah. I got things to do.
Right. You know? A life to live. Well, we're living in a society now that really embraces victim. And, you know, people are quite proud of everything that's wrong with them and all of the initials. I don't think it's a good direction for the world. It certainly is not a good direction for me.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Well, and I was trolling your Facebook page, and I went back and I saw a little post you did about oh my gosh, Dave Chappelle, and it made me think about like everything that had just happened not too long ago on the Oscars, and my thing with the Oscars wasn't even so much about Will. I don't really care. Yeah. My thing was more about the comedy aspect of it. So now every time somebody doesn't like something a comic says, it's okay to just get up and pop them in the chops.
Right.
That's what we're doing now.
But it's also, as a society, I don't normally care that much about celebrity news. You know, you live in that world for a while and then you don't care. I'm with you. I don't care what Will Smith did. I mean, obviously it was a terrible thing to do. I think there should be some repercussions, you know, whether he loses the award. It's not that. What bothered me the most about that was the resulting response I saw on social media of people criticizing Chris Rock's joke, that his joke was tasteless and that's a terrible joke because you can't make a joke about a woman losing her hair and you can't make a joke about. Now the standard in our country, the standard is no one should ever have a hurt feeling. That is the main thing.
And what's the line? I'm like, can somebody tell me? Because I'm not really a nice person when I get on stage. Like, I'm, you know what I mean? But I'm the first person to rip myself apart.
Right.
And then, you know, I'll go after, you know, I feel like I'm an equal opportunist.
But it comes from, now I don't know your act and I want to, now we've had a chance to talk. Do we have, are there, I'll have to ask you later. Are there places where I can see it that's online?
I think there's some. I can tell you once I sent something on my one page. I sent it to Rose. I was like, what do you think of this? And I'm like, she's got a different style, right? Like I have a dark sense of humor. She was like, I was like, is this too much? And she's like, it's fine. It's not funny. It's like, right to the heart. Right to the heart. I was like, I knew better. Why did I even ask?
Well, that is funny because Rosie is one of my favorite people. Working for her was an absolute dream. But it's funny because we are extremely different because I am really dark.
Yeah, I've watched your stand-up, and it's definitely much more my speed.
Yeah, and my personality is much darker. But then if you write for somebody, because her energy was so positive, it was absolutely different. But this all of this this PC crap.
It's rough.
This humor. Where does a dark sense of humor come from? Why do you make jokes about? Obviously, I had a whole list of me turning to dust from from the osteoporosis. The minute I find out I'm getting it, I'm starting to think of every horrific thing, a joke I can make about, disintegrating to powder. Because comedy is a way you deal with things. Also, I know that you know this about me. I was extremely obese. I know you have a history of being heavy when you were younger as well.
Yeah, yeah. I call myself the gay Kirstie Alley. You never know what size I'm going.
As of today, the pandemic was very fattening, very fattening. Yeah. And I gained 30 pounds. And as of today, I've lost 24 of them.
Congratulations.
Thank God. I was concerned with my biggest pair of fat pants that I had to take the tag out of because there's only so much reality I could face.
You had some great, there was a photo of you on the beach when you were on vacation. You had this purple sweat. You were looking hot, sister, okay?
Yeah, I really were because I'm
looking
like you.
Fly.
I go up, I go down, I go up, I go down. And I went from January of 2020, I weighed 140, which is really good for me. I'm very happy at 140. I went to India and I did come back at almost 145 because I got tired of Indian food. They don't have a lot of that, as it turns out. No, who expected that? So I started eating pizza every day in India because I was really enough of the curry. So I was 145 when I came back. When I came back from Christmas this year, I weighed 170.
Ooh.
I was really concerned about gangrene from the waist down because I went from a size 12 to a 16. Yeah. So
So you are definitely, people always say like, oh my God, like my doctor loses her mind because I gain it very quickly. And I also can lose it very quickly.
No, I had worked, I got an Apple Watch, there it is, for Christmas, and that's what started it. Because you have these activity rings, and the first day I accidentally closed them, and the watch appraised me. It told me how good I did, and I went, oh, well, thank you. That's so kind. And I started, and today is my 95th day closing all of the rings. I got a trainer. I've counted every freaking calorie. I weigh everything that goes in my mouth because at my age, I actually went, oh God, what if I've gotten to the point where I can't lose it anymore? And weight, I'm just going to jump. Weight is one of my a rant because weight is not healthy. And I had posted something.
I just so happen to have it.
Do you have it?
I have it.
Oh, wow, because I don't even have it anymore.
Oh, I have. Yeah.
Well, I only took it down because I thought somebody might come and kill me.
I totally agreed with that. I shared it with everybody on the other shows because I really wanted to have this conversation. And the other girls on the Thursday night show, I get a lot of flack from because they're like, you're fat shaming. We talked about like Rihanna's, she did like a men's lingerie line and it's like fishnet and it goes up to like 3X.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, that's gross.
To me it is. I mean, I've just mentioned what I'm doing to get rid of the flub because I don't like it. But it's not healthy.
No.
That is, there is no, I don't care who you are. You can argue all you like, but I'll probably hang up because it is.
Yes.
It's extreme obesity. And that was what, and I don't mind if you read it or if you don't read it or if you post it or whatever you do, because I do stand behind that. We have now, we're in this society right now where now we're putting up obesity as beauty. You know, and I don't think anyone should be, you know, tortured. I certainly was. I don't think anyone should be, you know, denied jobs. I think people should all be treated with respect. But I draw the line at trying to create a standard of beauty that is with a body weight where you really need to drop 100. Because
it's dangerous.
Yeah, and we normalize it. When I was fat, I'm you know, well, you don't know, but I'm pushing 70.
No.
I mean, I'm pushing it kind of hard. I'm only 32, but well, I'm going to be 22. 69.
Oh, and, good damn, good number.
Yeah. Oh well. Yes. Well, talk about Saturday night, but you can't mess around with fat because there's, you know, there's blood pressure. There's all kinds of, I never had these, but diabetes, cancer, horrific diseases that are caused by your size. And we're worried about someone having their feelings hurt about weight as opposed to, you know, dying from it.
It's something I think with the whole generation, and it's, I feel like now it's turning into something where we can't have conversations anymore, where it's not just even obesity. It's everything.
It's everything.
Everybody's
well, we
so
couldn't make
sensitive.
A joke about a haircut. You know, I am so sorry if you are losing your hair, but I actually thought mine was getting thin. I went to the derm. It turns out she said it was fine. I had a whole list of jokes already written.
There's no hair. This is hair fibers. Okay. I sprayed it in just for you. I actually did my hair.
It's, nice.
There's no hair right there. None.
Right.
It's all sprayed in the front. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I came close enough so you could see where my but apparently it's normal. Yeah. And you brought up a really good thing. We have been making fun of bald guys.
Yeah.
Forever. And that was never a problem. And now if it's a woman, oh, well, that poor frail woman, she will never survive it. Well,
and she's a tough, right? Like, I mean, Jada, to me, represents a tough woman, and I understand there's a medical condition behind it, and he's, I guess they're friends, whatever, and there's some complex bullshit there, but really?
Really? Like, it was a joke.
He was laughing
with
them.
If you cannot laugh at yourself, and it is a value of being thin-skinned, how dare you? And if you even mention weight, you're fat-shaming.
Yeah.
No, you're not.
And I'm a fat person. And I get told I'm fat-shaming. I'm like, excuse me. I'm living the life again, okay?
Right. Oh, that was why I brought up my age. Because when I weighed 275, I weighed 115 at 7, 200 at 12, 250 at 14, 275 in my 20s. So a bulk of that was in the 70s. And in the 70s in the United States, about 25% of the people were overweight or obese. So I was very often the only fat person in the room.
Yeah.
Now it's 65%. Mm-hmm. This is going to be taken wrong. I'm just going to say it is, if I don't know what would have happened if obesity was embraced the way it is now. You know, I actually think, because, you know, only, less than 5% of people who lose 100 pounds keep it off. And I've kept 100 pounds off for decades. I have 50 that I play with, but still, I've kept 100 pounds off for decades. I believe it was because when I was little, I wanted outfits. And in my day, we had the Sears and Roebuck catalog, and I would look through that, and I would dream about having these clothes. And I would have fantasies where I made up in my head. I remember clothing, not the pictures that I'd seen, but made up clothing in my head. And I would sit for hours. One of the reasons I was so fat, I was a sedentary child. I didn't move. And I would imagine myself in these outfits. And there was always, it was, you know, like a date. But there was never a man in the fantasy because he didn't matter. And what mattered is I got ready for it. And then when when the date happened, I'd already been sitting for 2 hours. I didn't need it. Years later, I was thin, thinner than now. I was probably about 130, something like that. I was really thin. And I was in San Francisco. And I'd gone shopping. I was, because I just booked a commercial. I didn't know they didn't always run. It took me years to pay off that credit card. But be that as it may. And I was taking size small. And I didn't even look for sales. I had just done this, you know, right. Whatever the commercial was.
Right. I'm doing it.
Yeah. Whoa, I'm going to make a fortune. Well, I didn't. But I did on that trip meet some cool guy in Fresno. Because I was working in a club, and he was a Top Gun pilot, an actual Top Gun pilot, and he had flown some of the jets in the movie. Well, you know, needless to say, this was work, and I'm on the West Coast. A girl has to do something. So then I was in San Francisco. I bought all these clothes, and he was driving up so that we could go out. And I'm in my room putting these clothes on, and all of a sudden I realized this was the dream of my whole life. I lived that moment a million times, getting dressed in a great outfit for a cool date. And I think it was because I saw that, because I wanted that. It was a dream and a goal and a hope. And I felt if only I could have that instead of what I had, it would be great. But if I lived in today's society where, you know, the models are not of a healthy weight, would I have felt the same?
Right.
I don't know. And I don't think that there's any, when you look at all the diseases, so they're calling it fat shaming, and people had a breakdown over my stupid little post, but
it was pretty epic.
Yeah, I thought so.
I was there for, like, I caught it within a few minutes of you posting, which is rare because I'm usually not on Facebook except to do show stuff,
right?
And I was like, oh, this is really good. And I was like, oh, you know, and then within a few minutes it was gone. I screenshotted it immediately because I was like, I want to talk about this. And then I had messaged you because I was like, oh, I really want to have this conversation, because to me it's so important that we're what the hell is going on in society that all of a sudden we can't have any conversations.
We can't have any conversations.
We're being
and somebody's
mean.
Feelings might be hurt. Okay.
Might
That's
get hurt
part
of
constantly.
Life.
If you're never, how do you build personality? How do you build a strength of character if you're
you
so
don't.
Delicate you can't make a joke about anything? When I thought, like, this was just, I only just went to the derm, and she said, no, it might be thinner, but this is normal. But I had, I'm two steps from Phil Silvers. The other day I was mistaken for Tim Conway, which is upsetting because he's dead. And I think I can get side work as a landing zone for small aircraft. That, because I thought my hair was thinning. And whatever I think is wrong, and you know, now you know, I've got to, you know, this face thing. Of course, I'm making jokes. You can't make a joke anymore about yourself,
right? Oh, and if you make a joke of yourself, you have low self-esteem, you need therapy, and you shouldn't do that.
Oh, that one I used to have. I used to do this joke. This was even, wait a minute. I would say, oh god, I don't remember, but I would talk about my weight loss. But I would talk about, wait a minute, let's get it. The arm flap here, which this was luxurious when I was in my 30s. And I would do that. I would show them the luxurious flap. And for those of you who are upset now, I'm sorry. And the punchline was, you should see me in a bathing suit. When I run, I look like a lava lamp. And And even back then, before everybody had this paper thin skin, women would come up and go, "Oh my God, you shouldn't do that." And they will say about your age. I've always referenced my age, and people go, "Oh, you shouldn't say your age." Is why will it make me younger? You know what I mean? Right. If I just don't say anything about it, am I no longer going to be my age? Because okay.
Well, and I feel like true comedy was a way to deflect. Like, the minute you bring it up first and you make somebody laugh, there's no more power in it.
Yeah.
None.
Exactly. So,
going to a Catholic school my entire life and being, you know, if there was rednecks or whatever, because central New York's a little iffy, you know. It gets a little Trumpy.
Yeah, it does up there.
Mm-hmm. You know, my thing would always be, "Oh, don't worry, I hate faggots." And if you say that now, they're like, "What?" And I'm like, "I am one. It's okay, but I don't like them." But the guys would be like, "Oh, you're the coolest gay guy I ever met." They thought it was a riot. And then it was fine. And they're like, right. "Oh." But that changed their whole opinion on gay people, was because I changed the situation for them. I made it okay.
Exactly. Well, humor and is like a way, that, humor, you yeah. diffuse it, you deal with it. You don't sit around and whine and think, you know, "Oh, I'm a victim." Because, you know, well, I should stop talking about it since apparently I'm not losing my hair. But, yeah, oh, skin. I've got enough skin. Oh, my Lord God. With the amount of weight I've lost. One time, it was during the Gulf War. This was one of the really old wars in the early 90s. I heard on the radio, I mean, this is sad, that there were so many burns on soldiers that they needed skin grafts and they were looking for skin. And I went, "Whoa! This is my chance," because I thought maybe I could get rid of some of this freaking skin.
Yeah.
But you're not supposed to. He's like, "That's how I'm going to deal with extra skin. I'm going to make jokes. I'm going to tell stories. Yeah. I'm not going to go, someone said something about skin." Granted, it was about the chicken, but still, it still upset me. I don't want any words anymore.
I mean, that's into funerals when people dying, like. 9/11, like, as we were watching it, I was in a Walmart I took a friend to get her haircut, and I'm saying things that are, you know, and people don't know how to deal with that. You know, I had a murder suicide with my grandparents, and I'm like cracking the joke. You know, people are like, "What the hell's wrong with this dude?" And I'm like, "But what else are you gonna do?"
Well, humor is a coping mechanism. Humor can open doors, and just because. Well, you know, bringing up the Chappelle thing, I really like Dave Chappelle. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
And but I heard all this stuff, so I watched the special. I don't always watch all the comedy specials.
Right.
You know, again, you know, if you've done it, you. And I find it difficult, having watched that special, to think of him as anti-trans.
Thank you. What did he say that was anti-anything in that?
Well, he made a couple of jokes about the woman and not knowing. I didn't even know it was a woman. Now, that's funny. I get this haircut. I went to I went around the corner because I, during the pandemic, you know, you don't go anywhere. Then I was cutting it myself. That is a true tragedy. Did you look as horrible?
The back of my head was so jacked up, right? And somebody'd be like, "Oh my God, what the hell?" And I'm like, "I can't see it. I don't care. You don't like it. Don't look."
Yeah, I was using clippers and stuff that I never used before. But finally, I don't know how many months ago, I went around the corner. I don't know why I'm pointing, but that is the corner. And there was a barber shop with one of the barber poles, like a real old barber shop. And I went in, and the guy, he's a surly Russian. And I said, "I want a man's haircut." And he gave me one. And I love it. I go there all the time now. And
it looks amazing on you.
I really do love it. But it is not a rare thing for someone to say, "Excuse me, Mr.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And well, especially in the back. Am I sitting? Because that really looks.
No.
Well, I still get it. But okay.
Well, people are ignorant, though.
But I don't care at all.
Yeah.
I could see that this haircut could be mistaken for a man. So in Chappelle's joke, we've all met women that could be mistaken for men. Oh, yeah. So yes, I mean, it was funny, but I think that was one that would have been considered horribly insensitive because we can't make those jokes anymore. But what could have happened in a different time, in a different society, what could have happened from his from that special is a dialogue could have been opened, a dialogue that we need to have, because I thought a huge thing in his special, he was saying, I'm not mad at trans people. I'm mad that they have a better PR than Black people. Really interesting. That's an interesting point that we can think about. But it's also true that I think a lot of people in the country, well-meaning people who are not anti-anything, are perplexed.
Yeah.
We're still perplexed because that had been hidden for so long. Mm-hmm. Well, we didn't know. I mean, like in the 1920s, gay was hidden, mm-hmm. and in our world, it's only been in the last, I don't know, is it a decade where it even is commonly talked about, and that's in the cities. So if you go out in the middle of the place where you're well versed, mm-hmm. People are perplexed. It doesn't mean that they're anti. It doesn't mean that they hate them. And it would actually be, if we could talk about it, if you have a bias, maybe you could get over it.
Well, and that's the thing that I don't understand is at what point should we stop allowing people room to grow? And do we stop letting them, okay, fine, you feel this way, but let's have a conversation and let's give them a chance to grow.
Right. And it's also, why is it upsetting to you if someone else is trans? It would be upsetting to me if they told me I had to, I'm not. But why is it upsetting? And his act and that special ended with a really beautiful story.
I was crying.
Me too. Like, I thought it was beautiful.
So heartfelt. And the thing that I found.
Of a trans woman that he knew.
Makes me giggle is it's always my straight white lady friends who were pissed off the most about it and they refuse to watch the special and they're just going off sound bites or you know what I mean, articles, and I'm like, you don't even know what he said. How are you mad about it? You didn't watch. Oh, I'm not going to give him any. But you don't actually know what he said. Did you know that, you know, and then I would kind of go, because it was some of the people on our Thursday show, and they were furious. Oh, he is an asshole. And I'm like, no, you're picking the wrong fight with the wrong one, okay? First off, you're a straight girl talking to a gay dude who did drag, who on the inside feels like a lady. And you're going to tell me what he said was transphobic? No. No, I'm not here for this. You're not going to tell me nothing.
Yeah, and it's some. And he's talking about some experiences that he has, and it's interesting. It could have been. I mean, it was interesting to me. But why not? Because I don't know a lot about the trans community. I've spent a lot of time. Gay people have always felt more comfortable to me. Part of it is I think you have to go through something in life. So gay people have been through something. Black people have been through something. So it's often cool people. But that doesn't mean that I haven't met asshole gay people or asshole black people.
Right, you know, right. My people were always lesbians and older white ladies. You know what I mean? Like, and black ladies. Those were always my crew. You know what I mean? Like, it was always women. I don't really like gay guys. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I don't get along with men so well. You know what I mean? I just like to date. I don't sleep with them, really. I don't know that I even like to date them. But lesbians are really my jam. And ladies, just my thing, you know?
I'm not even sure there's a lot of sleep going on.
Yeah, not really.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, switch
teams. Yeah, so you feel you're where you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And it needs to allow people to expand that. If Chappelle's act, if everyone hadn't decided to have some stupid breakdown because he made a joke, he mentioned it. You can't mention anything anymore. We could have had Rock's joke was not a strong enough joke to start a dialogue. But wouldn't it be nice to have a dialogue? Because a lot of women lose their hair. So maybe we could have a whole bucket of jokes that they could pull from.
I thought it was just kind of a weak joke in general. You know what I mean? Like, to even get that mad over.
Yeah.
Like, it was an easy joke to do. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't, it wasn't anything special. Yeah. Like, it was just that's the joke we're going to get mad at.
Yeah. My friend Tom Kelly does a podcast. And on his show, he said, it's not like he said, hey, Jada, you look like Uncle Fester. You know, it wasn't, you know, Kojak. It wasn't a mean, but my whole position is, even if it was, all right.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Right. And he could have totally went a whole bunch of places, especially about their entanglement. He could have done a whole bunch of shit that they opened themselves up to, and he didn't.
Right. It's his job. He went for the
easy joke. Right.
The Oscars have become a roast. It's his. Mm-hmm. What? Well,
Ricky Gervais?
Yeah.
Oh,
who I love, by the way.
Yes. But that's the only award shows I would ever watch is one he's hosting.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I would ever care to watch. Because he gets up there.
I didn't actually watch this one. So,
no, me neither. I saw the clips after.
Yeah, somebody showed me the clip.
Yeah. Yeah, I was getting it as I was doing all my TikToking. I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. I was like, he did not just slap him. And half of our hosts are in Australia, so they were sending the uncut feed of what happened. I'm like, but
how great was Rock? People are not that they're missing. I mean, could he have been more professional? Could he have handled it better?
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
I'm over this crap.
Yeah, for real. I know, and I hate, like, the other guys on the thing, they're, like, all into pop culture and, like, celebrities, and I could give a shit.
Yeah.
I don't care. I never have. Like, I'm, like, I want to know why you're crazy. I want to know all your quirks. You know what I'm saying? Like, those are the things I want to talk about.
Right.
Mondays is how we ended up this way. Like, you know, those are the things that I find fascinating about people. You know? Like, I like to really get into why everybody...
Is the way they is. And what we think about and how the world works and that kind of stuff is so much more interesting to me than something to do with a family I've never seen, but they are called Kardashian. I mean, oh, please.
Yeah, I couldn't even tell you who's who. I think I know
I don't know two
of them. Yeah.
I don't know. I've never watched that show. Well, I don't like reality. I like reality in real life. But, you know, although I do drink. So
I know. I loved that little picture with the wine glass.
Oh,
fabulous. I was like, that's a hot picture, girl. You make that your profile. I was like, all right, I'm here for it.
Yeah, I should slam myself. Listen, when this Bruce heals, I'll try to get another one.
Yeah, that was a great picture. Bruise and all, honey. Bruise and all. You're welcome. So one of the things I also love is that you would do your Woody's, vlogs. And one of the ones was about dating in COVID. I mean, you had fascinating ones. You did ones where you were putting like putty in your hair, which did not end well.
No.
You were doing leaves in your hair in another one. I mean, you're all over. And then you worked for Epstein?
I did.
Shut the fuck up. Like, how? I couldn't. I was like screaming into the kids are like, Daddy, are you okay? And I'm like, I can't handle this right now. I got to make sure to remember this for later.
This was before Jeffrey Epstein, and this was many years ago. I was a comic, early comic, and I had this friend, a girl. She was a model, and she was a professional model. She was tall, she was beautiful, and she had a part-time job at his apartment, answering phones, and if there was any light typing. But she got a modeling gig and she had to go away for 2 weeks for me to fill in. So I take the job. Now the funny here is that she is a 6-foot tall goddess And well, me, I weighed probably about 20 pounds more than right now. Where I gained back to, and I'm going to just say right now, the red Fiorucci Bermuda shorts were a mistake. They were. Yeah. You know, hindsight is 20/20. So I'm wearing that. But on top of it, like 2 days before I'm going to take over this job for her, I got the worst haircut of my whole life. I used to have long, I was long hair, and he cut it into three distinct layers. I used to do a bit at my act. I don't know if I can remember it, but it was, there was the long one for the Florence Henderson. Then there was another one down here for the Founding Fathers. And at the top was the Foghorn Leghorn.
Oh, yes.
I am only three layers. It was like literally this, this, and this. I looked so, and then the Bermuda shirt.
Did a gay guy do that to you?
No, which is why you do not go to a straight hairdresser. Mm. Yeah. Life lesson. I never went back. Too late. So. Yeah. I didn't wear makeup for 2 months because there was no point.
Yeah. Why?
After that. That's absolutely true. So I crawl up to Jeffrey Epstein's door and he opens the door to that. I will say he did look a bit taken aback. But that might explain why I worked for a legendary pervert. Never had a problem.
I would be so pissed off. That was like all the years being in Catholic school, none of the priests. I'm pissed off about it.
Yeah, I really think. You're a freaking pedophile. You couldn't have winked.
Right, something. You know, I couldn't have got a little something from all those priests.
A rude remark. I mean, I'm not asking for a lot.
Like, I got feelings, too.
That's exactly how I feel. And he was. Actually, he had a girlfriend, and she was very nice. She had just written a business book. She wasn't there very often. I don't know the other women's names.
Was her name Maxwell?
I don't remember. No, it wasn't her. This was some pretty little girl. Couldn't have lasted long. But even though I knew he was going out with her, he did have an emblem, because I met her, like, the first day. She didn't live there, so I didn't see her again. But he had very athletic lunch hours.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think the most important, did he pay well?
I don't even remember. Yeah, for whatever it was back in those days. I started stand up in 83. So it would probably have been between 83 and 85. So it was fine. And I was there for 2 weeks. He had a lovely penthouse. He was barely there except for his exercise. And and that was it. But ever since, I really was. When all this crap in the news, I thought, what am I, chopped liver?
Seriously.
I was really.
I would be putting that on my resumes. Like, I'm the twisted, dark bitch. Like, I'd be on my Facebook profile. I worked with Jeffrey Epstein. Like, I don't care. I don't, you know, like, I'm owning that shit.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah, he was a pervert and the son of a bitch didn't hit on me.
And no pervert toward me. Nothing. My entire life, I can walk by a construction site. There has never been, in fairness, they didn't call me fat either, but they've never called me anything.
Bastards.
Where people have called me, you know, perfectly nice people have yelled, "You're fat," out car windows. It's like, you think this is information?
Right. Like, thanks for your vital information.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I've had pizza thrown at me outside of a drag bar once. I had purple hair on. So, I mean, you know, blended in, but yeah, I understand.
Yeah, and it's rude, and it's horrible, and my feelings were hurt, and look, I'm fine. Yeah. I will never put that I just had a conversation with somebody the other night, and that's what he said, is if you're gonna, you have to know exactly what you mean, if anything could hurt anyone's feelings. Oh my God. Buck up.
Yeah, it's so weird to me.
Yeah.
That, you know, in Catholic, they'd always say it builds character, builds character, builds character, like those damn Catholics.
Uh-huh. But I think it does build character. You find out, I am not suggesting that people should be made fun of. It's horrible.
No.
But what I am suggesting is that it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And you can become stronger. You when things are really bad, and for me, it was really bad.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
But then you become for yourself what you can't get anyone else to be.
And I almost think that's something we should be teaching children, is how to be resilient.
Yes.
And giving them the courage and strength and self-respect and self-esteem. We need to be teaching that, and there needs to be a course about this.
Right.
Instead of everybody gets a fucking trophy. No, everybody doesn't, because everybody's not a winner.
Yeah, you know who is the winner? The one who won.
Yeah.
And it also, it gives you something to aspire to.
Yes.
I want to win the next time. I want to get better so that I can be better than what I am. I don't want to sit home. So I get fat again in the pandemic. I don't want to sit home and wallow in my blubber and be upset if somebody, looks at me wrong, or if the next pedophile I meet, well, of course, I'm a little old for a pedophile, but the next pervert I meet refuses to wink. I don't want to sit there and go, oh, it's terrible. People are mean to me. I want to go out and be motivated to fix it for myself. I have this. I hired a trainer. There is not a day without pain. He's brutal. I love him. But in all aspects of life, I'm much older than you. So my job, that was part of the lesson. Dust yourself off. Yeah. So what? You'll be fine. You'll be good. Get over it.
I mean, that was still what was kind of happening in mine. You know what I mean? There was two fat kids in our school, myself and the one other boy, and we had one black girl. You know what I mean? Like, we were the three.
I forgot
kind
where
of,
you lived. Yeah.
The odd ducks. We were in the private school, and we were kind of the three different ones. You know what I mean? And two, like, my voice was higher pitched. Like, on phone calls, they'd be like, "Ma'am." Like, I'm not a ma'am, and there was a lot of, are you gay? Are you gay? And I didn't even know what gay was.
Yeah.
I watched Mannequin I tried to bring it to first grade movie day. Okay. To my 20s, I rewatched it and I was like, oh my God, Hollywood was gay. My mother said Albert was short for Albertina. I had no idea. No freaking clue. You know what I mean? And it never.
Yeah.
And so I was in my 20s. So I'm like rewatching it like, son of a bitch, he's gay.
I guess my theory on life is it's not supposed to be easy.
No.
It's you not. Get more out of it when it's not.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. Okay, there's one more thing that there was some, I don't remember where or what it was on that you were talking about it, but it fascinated me. It was about, I think it was your childhood home.
Mm-hmm.
And it was being torn down, and how that was like torture for you because it doesn't exist on this planet anymore.
Yeah.
And that was something that affected me, because when I dream, the only place I ever dream of living is in my childhood home.
Oh, wow.
And I have such a weird attachment to that house. So when you, I don't remember where you were talking about that. What it
probably
was on.
Probably Rosie Radio.
Yeah, maybe.
Or my radio. It was probably on radio.
Yeah, that it just, that whole conversation had stuck with me. And I don't even remember the whole context of it. But just how much that affected you.
Yeah. Well, time, it's so interesting. Now, I won't go back there now. Now, I had a horrible time there. Where I grew up was...
that I understood too, yeah.
Because you did as well, and it still exists there. But, I grew up in this in a house in Connecticut. The new part was built in 1791. It was a single-family home. My family had lived in it that whole time. And by the time I came along, though, there was heat in one room and electricity in three. a great, great somebody had taken out the fireplaces. I think it was the Jeanette before me. My father was, I really loved my father, but he had some real problems. My mother had left when I was a year and a half old. And the house was in the middle of 148 acres. And that was the place where I became really fat and where everybody, we didn't have friends, we didn't have anything. And then when I went to school, people were really bad. It was because not only was I fat, I was weird. When there was two fat girls in my class too, me and Sally Ann Cox. And I remember Douglas Mish coming up to me one time and he said, "At least Sally's pretty. Why are you so ugly?" Well, I just didn't have a ready answer for that. And he wasn't even one of the mean guys, which is shocking. But that house was where I became who I am. And that house that's what made me so different from everybody. Being so different, every horrible thing that ever happens to you, if you wait long enough and if you're open and willing, you will find something wonderful from it. My mother left me, as I mentioned several times here. But my mother left when I was a year and a half old. Now, what's the good that came of that? In a weird way, it's how my initial relationship with Rosie started. Because we worked together at Bonkers in Orlando doing stand-up right before VH1. But, you know, her mother had died. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a mother. And that first the couple of nights at the club, we started to talk like that. And we became friends almost from that moment because there was such a strong, they were completely different. Because mine was gone at a year and a half and hers was at 10. But it was, it did something. Yeah. And I have the career that I had because of Rosie O'Donnell. Right. I was doing fine. I was a headliner, but a club headliner. And because of that job, all of these things happened. The living there in that isolation with everybody so mean and horrible, and as we've discussed at length tonight, when people are horrible, find a way to be funny. My entire career has been in comedy. So that seminal life really did mean something to me. And then it had to be during radio because that's when it happened. We sold, my father died, and we sold the farm. The town was going to try to absorb it as Greenland and take it. That is a thing that happens that I think is horrible. You know, people that have owned the land for 200 years, you don't have any, it's not that you have money, you have the land and the state can take it. So we sold it before that could happen. And then we went back up there and it was just a giant scar in the ground.
Oh my God.
This house that had lived, I picked up old bricks from the chimney. Not that there was a fireplace, but the chimney had stayed there. It was such a feeling to see it completely gone. And I do know that they made building lots and they've made some kind of a, you know, like they're 4-acre lots and houses there now. And I've told me I will not drive by. I will not go to that town. They named, this makes me so mad because I would like that town to be burned and salted.
I understand.
Yeah, I really, really hate those people because no one helped. I went to school bruised, you know, but not worse, you know. Yeah. No one in those days. In those days, you know, maybe we go too far now, but they did nothing. And I would get on.
That's just it. Now it's
Now it's almost too far. Every day on the bus for half an hour, every single person yelled, "You're fat, you're ugly, you're fat, you're ugly, you're fat, you're ugly," every single day. And now they have named a street in this freaking housing project after me. I don't know if it's my last name or if they used both because it's a family name. And I think, how dare you? How dare you, motherfuckers? It just... so it's a big package. But I think most people, your childhood never goes away. Not one moment in life. We carry every instant of our lives with us.
Yeah.
So is the house you grew up in still there?
It's still there, but it is completely destroyed. Like it's become like a slum, and the neighborhood, it was a nice Italian neighborhood, is now like a crack neighborhood. So it's just, you know, it's on the border of being condemned. Like the roofs are caved in. Like it's just disgusting. So it's very difficult to even look at.
Yeah, you can't go back. That's the other thing. Every instant, I believe, every single instant matters, because it's only going to happen once. And I think, for me, I say this, I just said this to the gynecologist today. if you're visualizing, that is on you. That is not on me, if you're visualizing that. And I don't know how this came up in conversation, but I am chatty. I think the key to life is to enjoy every instant, even the bad ones. It is not for me to pick and choose.
It's true.
Yeah, I had a blast landing on my face. Yeah. You can recover from every single thing. Although death, I think, is harder.
Yeah, it's a hard one to come back from.
But every single other thing, you can. And you will find there will be something great. I'm in a fantastic relationship now. There's always something wonderful.
Well, I think the universe always brings us somehow, some way, like puts us right where we're supposed to be.
But we have to then realize that, because I do think you're right, the universe puts us exactly where we need to be, which means when that shit hit the fan, that horrible thing that happened, that was the universe putting us exactly where we needed to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's our life trajectory.
Yeah.
Getting us ready for our next big chapter.
Right, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And just like that.
Mm-hmm. Which I hear got picked up, and I'm very happy about that.
Yes, yes, it did. Season 2.
Very excited.
Me too. I'm so thrilled. I don't know what they're going to do about Samantha. I'm a little bit concerned.
Well.
But I'm fine with the text messages. I can handle it.
I'm fine with it. Me too. And listen, what could they do?
Right.
I know
it now. Now Sarah's like, oh, I don't want her to come back. I'm like, oh, come on. Her show got canceled on Fox. Now they're all getting equal pay. Like, come on. That's what she wanted. Like, that's all she wanted was equal pay.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of
a I think in general, everybody needs to get over themselves. Everybody, including me. I'm sure there's plenty of things I need to get over myself about.
Thank you so much for coming on and hanging with me. You are so much fun.
You are too. This was actually more fun. And I'm glad you said we're wrapping up, because I just got a low battery thing.
I knew it was coming. I knew it was. So I'm like, I got this poor girl. I kept her on for a whole hour.